I want to thank God and ENR for giving me this opportunity to come before you this morning. Haley asked me there when I come in, said, are you nervous? Sure. I get a little nervous. But why should I be nervous when I'm with brothers and sisters in Christ? Here, some time ago, it was about a month ago, I believe I was sitting in service, and the Lord spoke three words to me, and I first passed it off. I said, where in the world did that come from? But it never did leave. It kept coming back. I said, this doesn't make sense. And then, how many of you actually just commonly talk to God sometimes when, you know, something's on your mind? You just talk to Him like we talk to each other. So I started questioning God about this that He had spoke to me, and I said, this doesn't make sense to have a sermon out of. Well, you know, that's not up to me. That's up to God and the Holy Spirit to give the words to go along with what He told me. So I pondered these things in my heart and kept thinking and dwelling upon it. And you'll probably laugh when I tell you what these three words was. Some of you already knew. Three little pigs. I said, God, where in the world am I going to go with that? But I believe God has a little bit of humor sometimes. He let me ponder on just that topic, wondering what in the world I could do with it. And it just seemed like I couldn't go anywhere with it. And then he said, well, you know, it's up to me. The Holy Spirit gives you what is to be spoken. Don't you worry about it. So as time went on, things started coming to my mind. Kept looking at these scriptures, and I pray that this morning that you will get something out of it. Because it has me, because if any of you has spoke before, you know, this message that I give this morning, it won't be the first time for me. I've run it over and over in my mind. God says, I want it to sink in real good. And you know, it makes you look at yourself. You know, just, okay, apply it to me. Well, I would like to read this, actually Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to depend on this scripture. So you lead me and guide me in these three little pigs where you wanted to go this morning. So I ask you that we'll bow our heads and we'll pray at this time, and let's go on into this message. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for each one that is here with us this day. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving grace that watches over each one of us. The Heavenly Father, that you're always there listening, that we can come to you at any time. And Heavenly Father, to call upon you, and you will minister our needs. And Heavenly Father, I love you and I thank you. Thank you for this time and opportunity. And I pray, Lord, your blessings be upon this message. The Heavenly Father, Lord, that we can go forth from your house this morning. And Heavenly Father, that this word will touch everyone's heart and life. And Heavenly Father, help us to be, Heavenly Father, and stronger and more dedicated unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here Wednesday night, we come out of the Bible study, prayer meeting. Brother John, he looked at me and he said, you got 15 minutes. And I thought about that and I thought, well, you know, ball games have four quarters, John. Did you mean 15 minutes for each quarter? Overtime's okay, as long as God's in it. Well, for most people that know me, I can talk a lot. But when the Lord laid upon my heart and gave me an opportunity to speak in a church, And I told some of them, I said, you know, out here to hold a conversation with someone, I can say a whole lot, and a lot of times it means very little. But when I stand in this pulpit, I want to be able to say very little, but mean a whole lot. Just to turn it right around. I want to obey God and speak what He'd have me to speak. As I got to end of this, looking at this here, and you know the story of the three little pigs, and I say most everybody in here should have heard it growing up. This actually dated back in the 1800s. There's been many different versions of the three little pigs. I think a fox was used in some, and then it came about with the big bad wolf. But this story's been around a long time. And as I got to look at this, I just sort of dissected it. And, you know, it come time for these three little pigs to go venture out on their own and to make their way in life. And, you know, many of us, you know, as we grow up, but we still got children at home, but one day they'll have to venture out and make their way in life. And we'll be praying that they will make the right steps, be led by the Lord in what they do. But these three little pigs went out, and the first little pig, as you know, it just seemed like he was happy-go-lucky, and the pleasures of this life just overwhelmed him. And it come time for him to build him some kind of shelter, build him a house. He took the first opportunity, didn't put much thought in it, and he built his house out of straw. Well, that's all right. It made a shelter, but it didn't have much strength in it. And as we look at this, we look back to Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 5. They tell the story of the five wise and five foolish virgins. You know, the story there was the bridegroom, you don't know what time he's going to come, and you must always be ready. Ready and waiting. Well, the five foolish ones, they never had extra oil. And when it come time for the bridegroom to come, and they announced that he was coming, they got up, was ready to trim the wicks on their lanterns, their light, and they realized they were out of oil. You know, one day, God is going to step out, and He's going to call His church home. Do we have our bottle, our lamps filled with oil? Are we ready? Are we waiting? Well, they caught these five off guard, and they wanted to borrow from those that had. And they said, well, you'll have to go get your own because we won't have enough. And by the time they got back, you know how the story was, the door was shut. And I thought, well, Lord, I can understand that, you know, and this little pig building a straw house. He didn't take much consideration. He wasn't thinking about the storms of life that would come against him. And you, many of us, when it comes to this right here, this is a storm protector. How much of that do we have in here? David said that he had hid God's word in his heart that he might not sin against God. How much of this are we putting in here? Acts 19, verses 15 through 16, this one priest had seven sons. And they were watching Paul and some of the rest of them cast these demons out. And, you know, they had some experience in casting demons out and using the word and scriptures, Old Testament scriptures and Psalms and stuff at that particular time. And maybe they've had some success in doing so. But what the problem came about, they decided, you know, they was going to copy and go about casting demons out the way Paul and Jesus and some of the rest of them was doing at that particular time. And they went out and was going to cast this demon out. Well, they had good intentions. But the problem with that, how we face life. Are we ready? Or do we have the Word of God when we face troubles in our life? And as they went to cast this demon out, calling out in Jesus' name, this demon looked at them and said, you know, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And the demon leaped on them and put them in pretty bad shape. That is why it is so important, if we're building a spiritual house, what are we building it out of? Are we building it out of His Word? Are we just building it out of our own intellect of what we feel like we need at a particular time? And you know, we can look all through God's Word of different ones and how they live their life as far as the spiritual side of it. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, these other things will be added to you later if need be. He'll supply our need according to His riches and glory. But it seems like we spend our life, and that is basically how I come about. You know, I spent a lot of years to the things that providing for a family, working every day, trying to survive in this life. Yes, I went to church. I accepted the Lord. I'd done some work in the church, teaching classes and so forth. But I wasn't putting 100% into it because I was too busy. Too busy about other things just in life. Not that it was doing anything wrong, but I wasn't putting enough in this. And as I was reaching retirement age, it's like God said, well, you have no excuse now. You're going to retire. You're going to have some extra time on your hands. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with your spiritual house that you've been using excuses not to build it up any better than what it is, that you'll be ready and if I should call and you'd do something? But, you know, like Moses and Jeremiah and some of the rest of them, Gideon, they had excuses, but God seen their potential in them that they could be used for His glory. So finally it got around. I submitted and I said, yes, Lord, if there's something I can do, if it's nothing more about filling the gap somewheres, help me, Lord, to fulfill that. And I'm very thankful to you that I have this opportunity this morning to speak here. And you know, we have an opportunity, each and every one of us, people we work with, friends, family, co-workers, that we can be a witness to if we allow God to do it. I've had people on my job. It's one customer kept coming from time to time, made good friends with him. He would come in and about every day, not that he needed anything done on his truck, just come by to talk. Some of them out there, and you just had to know this individual, but some of them said, how in the world do you deal with that? He was up in years, quite a bit older than I was, but he could be aggravating at times. And said, how you deal with that? I said, you know, we're all going to get old someday. We need somebody to talk to. But I tried to witness to him, and on several different occasions throughout the year, and his brother tried to commit suicide, and it was not a good thing. It put him in a nursing home for quite some time, but our friendship grew to the point he looked at me one day, and this guy was probably 15 years older than me, in his 80s. He looked at me, tears running down his cheek, and he said, I ain't got my brother Charlie, but you're just like a brother to me. So sometimes we don't realize what we are to someone by just being kind, sharing the Word of God to them. But I leave it in the hands of God that he had started having some sickness and in the hospital. He got back home and I called him one Friday. And about noon. And he was at the house, and I said, well, I'm going to come out and see you if you're at the house. I took lunch and went out and talked with him, and I had shared with him about the Lord. I got ready to leave, and he was just one of them that would grin and agree with you, but to make that confession, he wouldn't. And I told him, I said, Johnny, God is only a prayer away. He's listening and waiting. And he agreed with, nodded his head. And I said, Johnny, just call on him. That night, 10 o'clock, I got a call from his daughter. Johnny had passed away. She said, I was so upset. All I know, he went to the bedroom and he fell and he was hollering. I don't know what was said. And all I can do is leave it in the hands of God that he called out in those final moments. So we need to build a spiritual house that we, not only for ourselves, but for those around us. Because we may be only Bible, somebody, as far as them reading, they're watching our lives. And you know, I can remember back a lot of them. I grew up in church, the elder ones in the church, watching their lives. And the superintendent we had there, little Church of God there on the creek, he was the superintendent for I don't know how many years. But I seen that man in his 80s before he had a stroke when he was in a nursing home. I seen him, he'd stop by at work sometimes, not to be talking about anybody, just talking about the church going through some hard times. This man had tears rolling down his cheek. He had a heart and compassion for the people in that community and the church. And it hurt him to see the church suffer. You could see him in the nursing home and he couldn't talk. But yet you mentioned something about how, what the attendance was in church. Just mention anything about the church. He might not talk, but he cried because his heart was for the church and the people that was there. And I may be getting a little off here, but saying that, I want to obey God. I had a dream when he was in a nursing home. It was as clear as a bell. His house set up on a hill. A car pulled in, parked on the other side of the road. He got out. His wife was standing up on the porch. And she says, you come on up. He looked out towards his garden up above where they had parked. It was a beautiful garden. Everything was starting to produce. It was clean, no weeds. Had a beautiful garden. All of a sudden, the dream just disappeared. I said, well, Lord, is he coming home? I wanted to tell his wife so much that I'd had a dream. He was coming home. Everything was okay. But God wouldn't let me tell him. A few days after that, I kept questioning God about it because it was burning inside of me. What does this mean? I had another dream. Same as the first. He pulls up. He gets out of the car. His wife on the porch. She says, come on up in the house. He looks out towards his garden. It is in late fall of the year when you done harvest all your crops and weeds is caught up with it. And it just didn't look good. He looked back at his wife and he said, I planted my last seeds. It's up to you and the church now to keep planting seeds. Church, it's up to us to build that spiritual house that others can see and plant seeds wherever we may go or whoever God may put before us. I've had people come in and got acquainted with at work, honestly. I hate to see them come in because they want me to work on their car and their vocabulary and their attitude. I didn't want to be around. God proved me different. This one individual was an alcoholic. He would go to church from time to time. He come in one day. He was a retired coal miner. And he looked at me and he said, "Richard, I've had a dream. And I don't understand it." I mean, this man, he had tears in his eyes. He was disturbed. I thought, wow, he's really thinking about something this morning. He said, "I was in this room, no furniture, no nothing. Then I was chasing a rat." He said, "I couldn't catch it. I stood there a minute and I said, 'Bill, you're confused with your dream. You're the rat. God is trying to hem you in a corner to talk to you.'" He looked at me and he said, "You know, you're probably right." And as time went on, make a long story a little shorter here, he come down with cancer. It was short-lived. I went to his house one night and it spread to his brain. And he didn't even know who it was when I come in. Sort of jump-started his mind there a little bit. We talked a while. But he hadn't given his heart to the Lord. And at the funeral, I was a pallbearer at the funeral. And I hadn't been told this. His neighbor had came over the night before he passed away. And Bill had given his heart to the Lord. We don't know just what benefit we are to some people. I know somebody prayed and witnessed to me. The woman that was there the night I was born, put my first clothes on me, was the very woman when I was about 20 years of age at a baptismal service, looked at me and said, "Richard, don't you think it's about time?" And I gave my heart to the Lord that day. She not only seen a natural birth, she was there to see a spiritual birth. So let us build our house, a spiritual house, that we can be used for the kingdom of God. I got to thinking about the next house. It was built out of sticks. To me, it would have probably been a little stronger. And I thought to myself, "Lord, where am I going with this?" And he said, "Well, you know, we've got some people that have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now you can go with that." And I thought, okay, we've got some people that no doubt probably in the church world today, attend church, pay tithes, give an offering. You know, they're there. But they have that form of godliness, but denying the power. You know, they're just there in body. Their heart is not in it. It's a mental thing to them. Okay, yeah, it's just the right thing to do to go to church. And I thought, well, Lord, I don't want to be labeled in that situation. I want to be at the point to where I can be used and have a deeper experience with you. Well, I got to looking in Isaiah. At one point there, when God was about ready to call Isaiah and send him forth to be that great and mighty prophet he was, Isaiah was very critical. You got to be careful there. We don't want to be critical of anybody because we're not to judge. Because I know the Bible speaks, you know, we're going to be judged by the same judgment we judge others. And so anyway, Isaiah, he was very critical of the children of Israel. You know, talking about their sinful ways and all this. Well, God comes down and around and get and his presence around Isaiah. It was a whole different picture, a whole different attitude. Because he said, "Woe is me, a man, an unclean spirit." How close do we want to get to God? Sometimes I wonder, I said, "Well, Lord, show me where I stand with you. That would be a pretty bold statement maybe to make. Because we may feel like we're all right here. But when we stand in the presence of Almighty God, it might be a different story. It may be like Isaiah was. But you know, Isaiah, he got the picture. That German, whatever it was, took the tongs and took that coal from the fire and laid on his lips and purged his lips. And you know, the tongue is a very unruly thing. But he got Isaiah straightened out. And he said, goes on and says, you know, who will go for me? You know, he was looking for someone to go out and minister the word to the children of Israel. And he said, here am I, Lord, send me. Are we willing, if God speaks to any of us? He may just speak to us, you know, hey, phone call. You know, just call someone. We don't realize, you know, I've got a phone call from time to time when I'm sick or something or other, and it, you know, from somebody that don't normally call me, it blessed my heart. I had an individual come time who was doing some work on the house and had this guy doing some work for me there. He come up one day and I'd come down with the flu, and man, I spent a miserable day just wallowing in my own misery. And done made up my mind I wasn't working the next day. I was just sort of going with the flow, you know, okay, I'm sick. I can't go. I feel bad. He comes up and checks over a few things we was doing on the house, get him lined back out on it. And before he left, he looked at me, he said, let's pray. He prayed with me. The next morning I got up and went to work. Changed my whole way of thinking. Because I was letting this up here control what the rest of me was. I accepted that, you know, prayer and God's healing touch, and I was fine the next day. I've read stories of old Smith Wigglesworth. He was on his deathbed, so to speak, according to the doctor. And the doctor told his wife, said, I'll be back over in the morning and check on him, so I don't know where he'll make it through tonight or not. He comes in the next morning, started up the steps, and his wife said, he's not up there. Well, I didn't think he'd make it through tonight. She said, no, he's all right. He got went to work this morning. So, you know, we got to put our faith and our trust in God and stay in this word and let the Lord lead and guide us in our thoughts and not be so accepting of what the world tries to put there. Acts 9, verse 6, when Saul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. You know, we want to rightly divide God's word. Saul was a very intelligent man in Scripture. He was of the, you know, Sanhedrin court. He had been trained, taught by the very best. But yet he was persecuting the Christians. But yet when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, it was a whole different story. And there's one thing that stuck with me, that when he was there on the ground smote with blindness and the Lord spoke to him, I liked his response. What would you have me to do? Do we get up of a morning and say, Lord, what would you have me to do today for you? I have my agenda. I have things I'm going to try to get done today. What has to be done today. But Lord, what would you have me to do for you today in all of my travels? Sometimes it's just taking a moment out, to reach out to someone. But sometimes we're too busy. And we asked ourselves, you know, how is my spiritual house? We know from the story of the three little pigs, the big bad wolf showed up, and I can imagine he wanted to go through the door and he wouldn't let him in. And I can imagine he's probably walked around that house looking for a weak spot. You know, we need to guard ourselves. We need to make sure every area of our life is guarded by God's Word. We can't go slack in any of that. But coming on down with the sticks, I'm sure the old big bad wolf had to huff and puff and, you know, a little bit harder for it to fall in. But we come down to the next one. I said, Lord, this little pig has built his out of brick. He stuck to time. He didn't want to involve the out here running around doing this and that. He had a main purpose in mind. He wanted to build a house. He was focused in every area. And I'm sure he built it on, and I like that song Pam used mentioned about on a rock. He built his house, I'm sure, on a strong foundation. And it was out of brick. And I said, Lord, I'm stopped here. I can't, you know, I understand the weakness in the straw, the weakness in the sticks, the time that was put into it, it was quick, not very much preparations, and they thought everything would be okay, which it wasn't. But what about this house? Show me something, Lord. And it was like, that brick. Look at the brick. That's my word. That's okay, Lord. I understand that. That's good. I like to have these conversations with the Lord because he can come up with some goodness. He said, you see that mortar? That's praise and worship and prayers that's holding that word all together. That's what that house is built out of. It's strong. It was built on my word. It was built on a strong foundation. And you know, when Jesus was having his discussion with the disciples, who do they say I am? And Peter made that statement, you are to Christ. And upon that statement, said Jesus told him, said, that's upon that statement, I'm going to build my church upon that rock. But we see here also, I get to thinking, I said, well, Lord, we got a strong house here. It's built with the Word. And I'm sure every little area was covered. There wasn't no weak places in this house. That it sought God in every area in this house that was constructed. And I'm sure he kept detail watch over his little house that it stayed strong. But I thought about another thing, that when this first little pig, and it's so important, the Bible tells us that iron sharpens iron. Well, this first little pig didn't understand that scripture. Instead of running to the little pig that had the house out of brick, he ran to the one that was out of sticks. If we have trials and troubles in our life and we need to talk to somebody, do we go to someone that is sort of going to compromise the situation and we find somebody to agree with us? Or do we go and we find someone that would say, let's go to this word and we'll find an answer for you? I got a nephew. My brother passed away during COVID. And his youngest son, I could show you on my phone calls, messages, asking me questions about the Bible, first one thing to another. Because I'm supposed to be his favorite uncle. So if he's got something bothering him, I hear about it. Well, if I don't get back in touch with him pretty soon, he's sending me another text and saying, is your phone broke? I ain't got no answer for my question. I text him back and I said, do you want my opinion or do you want what God's Word says? Everybody's got an opinion. But that doesn't mean it's right. It's got to line up with God's Word. And eventually, God will give me Scripture. And I will text him back that Scripture, not my opinion. So we can find, we have our problems in our life and we go to someone. We don't need someone's opinion. We need what God's Word says. And when we go to someone like that, you know, the Bible does speak it. You know, we can be, have fellowship with one another. And I've got a couple of guys that older than me that I met over here at the Point of Contact Church. When I filled in over there, we got acquainted pretty good. And in fact, Tuesday night they have Bible study, if I can make it, I'm still going over to be with these guys. And we can go down, occasionally I went to Bob Evans, spent maybe 2 hours for breakfast. The food was good. These two guys, they're in this. That was better than the food. I told them, I said, you know, I was running a little late one morning. And I said, you know, I was more concerned about what I was going to miss in the conversation than what I was eating a biscuit of gravy. This one guy, if you mention a scripture, just quote part of a scripture, 9 times out of 10, he'll pop up and tell you what book of the Bible and the verse comes out of. Just love to be around people like that, that they will encourage you. I like that clock setting up there. We're rolling around with time here. But anyway, as I looked on here, that we look at Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 28. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got into a situation here that there had been this image erected, Nebuchadnezzar had, and said when they played this music and stuff, everyone was to bow before this graven image that they had created for Nebuchadnezzar at that time. And they found out that these three Hebrew children would not bow. How much do we bow before this world? It's everyday life we go out here. Do we bow before the world? Or do we keep our mind bowing before God Almighty? And you know, I like the statement that he made. That, you know, King got upset. He heated 7 times hotter. It even consumed the ones that was going to cast them, the three young men, into the fire. It was so hot. But they told the king, said, we know that our God will deliver us, that God is more than able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. But if not, O king, we're never going to bow before your God. Any gods or your idol, we're never going to bow. Their confidence was in their God that they served. Where is our confidence in this day and time? Is it in our own ability? In our own intellect, as I mentioned in Proverbs 3, it's instructing us to trust in the Lord with all our heart. You know, a lot of times, you know, we think with our mind that, you know, this is how this is going to work. God's got other plans if we just be obedient and yield to Him. Daniel 6 was when Daniel was cast into that den of lions. And talking about bowing before the Lord, these ones, they were so jealous at that time, they talked to the king, said, you know, let's do this, that everybody was going to give you reverence and not to pray to any other god except give reverence to you. King loved that. Oh, man, this is going to be great. And Daniel didn't pay no attention to it. He didn't bow before this world. But he opened them windows towards Jerusalem, what, three times a day? And he prayed to the God above. He didn't bow before this king here at this particular time. So we got to stop and think, are we building a spiritual house that even though when circumstances come in our life, do we give in? Do we give up? Or do we keep our trust and our faith in God Almighty and do what God's Word says? I can only imagine Stephen when he is being stoned to death. The joy in his heart, even though the flesh was suffering pain from the stones, that he's standing there and he's looking up and he said, I see Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. He was determined. He wouldn't denounce his faith. He was trusting in God Almighty. Had his mind upon him and not what was on his circumstances. Even the Apostle Paul, being stoned and left for dead, and got up and went on about his work. Paul was another individual that, after that experience on the road to Damascus. See, he had some flaws in his house because he wasn't rightly dividing God's word. But God showed him that he was the true Lord and Savior. And God told him, said, you're going to suffer some things for the sake, kingdom of God's sake. But I love what Paul did. He was 100% turned around the other way. It didn't matter what come, what went. He was focused on what God had commissioned him to do. And you know, that is so important in our lives that we stay focused and we not be drawn away with the things of this world. Come on down to the last. We look at Jesus himself. The Spirit says it drawed him away into the wilderness, that he went 40 days there in the wilderness, and he was tempted of Satan. John, if you want to come on the keyboard this time. And as he'd come, it was one thing that really stands out that you would think would make a spiritual house. When Satan would come against him, and he comes against us. But do we take the same approach that our Lord and Savior did? That we're not going to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And you know, he come against Satan with the word. And you know, even there in the garden, it showed us that he suffered in the flesh just the same as any one of us. Said his blood was as great as sweat was as great drops of blood, the tears and the sweat and everything that was flowing. But he was doing all that for us, that we could be redeemed back to the Heavenly Father through the fall of Adam there in the Garden of Eden. Even when he was hanging on the cross, he looked upon them and he said, Father, forgive them. The love that he had for humanity, even though they had nailed him to a cross, dropped it down in that hole, and I can only imagine that jar when that hole hit the ground, on solid ground. Jesus loves us that much, and he wants us and will help us have a spiritual house that will stand with the storms of life. You know, they had a song one time, I think. One of them that I remember, I believe it was Tom T. Hall. And I never did fully understand what he meant there. And he said, me and Jesus got our own thing going. I don't think it really works all that much. Not just one individual's got his own thing going. It sounds to me like he was putting the emphasis on what he wanted out of life instead of what the Word said. But it was another song that I don't remember part of. It was when this individual came and was going to do some remodeling work in the house. And he said, well, this here needs to be fixed. And he left and come back in a little while and noticed another wall had been stripped. And he said, you know, I just wanted to work right here, not over here. But that carpenter said, yes, but I detected some bad places in this wall. And you know, if I come, I'm not just going to do a partial job. I'm cleaning it all out and fixing it right. And you know, that's what Jesus did for us. He gave us an opportunity that we would be cleansed of all the sin that humanity took upon when Adam sinned there in the garden. Took it all away that we could be redeemed and have and ask Jesus for salvation in our life. I ask you to bow your head at this time. If there's anyone here today who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, today will be a perfect time. Yes, I have been in revival meeting, tears rolling down my cheek, gripping to a bench in front of me till my knuckles had almost turned white. Having an evangelist look at me and said, don't you think tonight's the night? And I remember looking at him and said, no, I don't feel a thing. You know, God loves us. And I thank God I got another opportunity. I've heard testimonies that some people never get the next opportunity when God is knocking at their door. God loves us. And He will be there to help us build a spiritual house that will stand the storms of life. So I ask if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.